I hope and pray that some things that's been done this month has been helpful. And of course, the only thing that I noticed on our sheet that's wrong is the date, because we were originally going to do that on the last Sunday of the month, but my wife got the flu. And so we postponed that for another time. And I'm going to set these right here. And again, just want to be helpful and thoughtful. Extra one, yes, sir. And I want to say, for the marriage retreat coming up on Thursday, we're excited about it. We probably have the largest group we've ever had. And we weren't trying to get large, but the Lord's allowed it to get large. And we're thankful for that as well. So you pray about it. And I'll share, maybe. I don't want to take away anything from the folks at the marriage retreat, but there's a great testimony, I believe, coming. And I want to share it, but we'll wait and do that on Sunday, and we'll let all the folks at the marriage retreat hear it, how the Lord's worked in people's hearts. But I want to start tonight. Let's pray. Let's ask God to just give us wisdom here. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your goodness and grace. We do ask now that you'll just bless our time. We thank you for the Word of God. Lord, we don't have all the answers, but Lord, we sure have the answers in your Word. And so I pray you'll help us now. Give us wisdom. And I pray that every family here will be very diligent about protecting their home and working at it. And we'll thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen. These are questions and things that have been brought up to us throughout the month. And so the handout, first we're going to start out with, these are just various subjects. The first one that someone sent in and asked about the importance of budgeting, spending, the wisdom of spending, making wise financial decisions. And so the handouts are just a place to start, and we're just trying to get you to think a little bit. And Miss Laura, you probably will let these men get finished there. But just putting effort in it, working on it. And these percentages might be, you know, a little off, but Dave Ramsey is a great resource to use. He has a lot of helpful things on the internet. Brother Clay and Miss Ivy went to school with a gentleman that now works with them, and I think he helps develop their app, his app, on the phones. And so Dave Ramsey, he's very, 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 very dogmatic about this thing, and he believes in spending. And one of the things that he wants to do, and one of the things I've heard him, is if you're able to save, you're able to give more. And ultimately, that should be the goal, because the Bible says that it's more blessed to than to receive. And so we've missed out on great joys if we're just trying to live day to day and not putting something back to where we can be a blessing to somebody else and give. So with that being said, Miss Laura, you might want to share a few things here.
Well, I think in our 26 years of marriage, we've had more financial failures than we've had successes, but I'm thankful that we decided we was going to conquer this thing, and we sat down and really put effort into our finances. We actually went to a couples retreat a few years ago, and they had a session on finances. It was very helpful, so I just wanted to kind of give you some bullet points from that tonight. Here's some things he said to avoid. Number one, don't believe the lie that you don't make enough money to budget. And they, of course, said a lot of younger couples when they first get married feel this way. They feel like, well, we don't make enough right now to really do a good budget. But he said that's a lie that you don't want to believe. Start early. Second one is live within your means, of course. Live within your means. Exclamation point. Three, stay away from using credit. Number four, stay away from payday loans. And number five, don't be an impulse buyer. A verse that Pastor and I have decided to claim with our finances is Psalms 37:21. I'll read it for you, but if you want to write that down and look at it later, Psalms 37:21. The wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth. And we have found the last few years when we've really honed in on our finances, being more free, getting things paid off and being more free, we've been able to give towards things a little more and help some people that we wanted to help, how that's even knitted us together, being able to do that together. So I challenge you, if you are struggling with your finances, get a hold of them, because you can have so much joy together having meeting your goals. And, of course, like he said, the handout we gave you is just basic. The budget percentages, you may have to adjust that a little bit with yours. But just a good guideline to try to keep those things in that percentage. The second one is a worksheet, and it's a pretty big worksheet, but we chose that one because it pretty much covered everything. And I figured no matter where you were with your finances or your age, and also it had a section you set goals, and I thought that was good. So it's a little lengthy. You can find some more simple ones or maybe some that would suit you better. Google, Pinterest, you can find them everywhere. David Ramsey has a website. He has everything on there. Like they said, he has an app. It's a great resource. AAA, if you're a member of AAA, they have a budget worksheet there too that is good. And then the last one is the snowball thing on the back. That's just a source that Mark and I use. There was a time a few years back with doctor bills that we were a little over $11,000 with doctor bills. And we used that method, and it worked great for us, and it worked fast for us. So that's why we printed that off, just because it was a great resource for us. And then at that couples retreat, they talked about a calendar method. So Mark and I adopted that, and it has worked great for us for a couple reasons. He had made the comment that so many times in homes that most homes has one person that does the finances. And you think about it, normally that's the way it is. In our home, I'm the one that usually pays the bills. But if something would happen to me, if I was in a car wreck or something, Mark wouldn't have had a clue years ago of what was due when, what we paid for what was an automatic withdrawal out of our account, what I paid by check. And he also said that this was a good method to keep you all communicating together and both being knowledgeable. So if you want to hold that up for a second, what we do is every month, and this was an exciting month, by the way, we had to redo our budget because now we have a house payment. So that was exciting. But what we do is on the day when something's due, we put it on there. If it has a star, that means that's going to be automatically withdrawn. You don't have to write a check. And once we pay it, we highlight it. And it's also, and then on the notes down at the bottom, like this month, we have marriage retreat. That's a little bit extra expense over and above our normal. Our car registration's due this month, and then Kaylee has a birthday. I'll write everything like that. And that just kind of helps us plan the month. Like if he comes and says, hey, I need to do this, when's a good time? We can look at our calendar. Oh, well, the second week is freed up more so. So this has just kind of helped us communicate better, be knowledgeable together, and if something would happen, both of us know what's going on. And then the last thing, I found this, and I thought it was so convicting, so I wanted to share this. Where did I write that down? Right here. What does it take to blow $10,000 in a year? Are y'all ready for this? $27.40 a day. You think about that. If you and your spouse both work and you both go out to eat for lunch and on your way home you stop at Starbucks and you both get a coffee, you've spent that almost in a day. And in a year's time, that's $10,000. I just thought that was so convicting. So just something to think about.
Here's the thing about that calendar that I want to say. No secrets. It's not your money. It's not my money. It's our money. No secrets. We have seen more problems with people being selfish. And by the way, selfish is the number one problem when it comes to finances. Well, this is what I want. Well, what about what do we need? What do we need? And then, as you work together, you do it together. And so this has really revolutionized our marriage, just because I'll be honest, 10 years ago, you could have asked me a question I wouldn't have known. And really, that was too much on her. So I also want to be helpful in this as well. So this system has worked for us, and if you know, another for y'all. But here's the key that we're wanting to do this. We just want you to put some effort in it, put some thought in it. You sit down and do a budget, you'll be shocked at how much money you're wasting. I promise you. And think about how many more missionaries we could take on. Think about what else we could do to help in God's kingdom. Amen? So that's the ultimate goal. We want to be a giver. We want to do for the Lord. And I want to say this. Stay out of credit card debt. Rip them up. We only have one. We have one to use just in a case of emergency, and we don't have anything on that and haven't used it in years. It will get you in trouble, and it will get you in trouble fast. So get rid of a credit card, because the interest rates on those things are ridiculously high. And so stay out of credit card debt. But the main thing here is, I just want to say, is no secrets. You're making every financial decision together. Someone asked on Family Feud the other day, if you ask 100 women, how much money can you spend without talking to your husband about it? And the lady answered the question. She said $10,000. I was like, what? I don't spend 50 bucks that I don't tell her about it. I always call her and say, hey, can I scrounge up and do this today? You know, it's usually something with fishing or hunting. All right. So just some helpful things. Just put some thought into it. No secrets. Work together. And look, don't let finances separate you. Let it make you closer together. This thing is a team. You're not doing it. And again, deal with selfishness, all right? So that's the first one. Look, I'm not going to mention names, but there's people in the church. If you want some a little bit more, there's some people in this church that has a burden to help folks with their finances, and they would be very discreet. And they could be helpful to you. They're a whole lot more money and number-minded than we are. And there's people like that here. And if that's something you would like to, we can put you on somebody that can help you. And they're right here in our church. Number two, dealing with a blended family. Oh, and by the way, we read the verse, but I wanted to read a verse there too on finances. Think of this, Philippians 4:19. My God shall supply all your need. All your need. And he did not say he will supply all of our greed. So, and then I also, if you want to write this verse down and look at it later, I'll read it to you. Proverbs 21:20. There is treasure to be desired and oil in the dwelling of the house, but a foolish man spendeth it up. Proverbs 21:20. So write those verses down. Those will be helpful underneath finance. And look, you do a study on money and finances in the Bible, you'll be shocked and how many principles you'll find from the Word of God. Number two, dealing with a blended family, overcoming and resolving issues involved. Now look, the verse that I wrote down there that Laura and I just wanted to deal with a minute is Matthew 5:9, the Sermon on the Mount. Just this little phrase, blessed is the peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers. Now, I want to say this, and I want to say this just as kindly but as clearly as we need to talk about, because this is something that most people don't think about. God's design for marriage is for one man, one woman for a lifetime. That's God's design. So that right there is God's way. Now we understand things happen, and I'm not being negative about that today, but here's what I want to say when someone is getting ready to get married to someone that has children or they've been in a previous relationship. Here's something that you need to take into consideration. Marriage is tough. It's already difficult. And you need to realize if you're going to get into a relationship where someone else has children by another marriage, then you are promising that person. And you are already dealing with that in your mind, knowing that when you get into that marriage, that you are going to love their children just like they're yours. Doesn't matter if they're biologically yours or not. You are promising one another. And I don't think people are spending enough time dealing with this on the front end, and they just jump in. And then the things they say that they're going to do, and then when they actually get in the marriage, we've seen it change so much, and they start showing partiality. And that's harmful. It's harmful to the children. It's harmful to the relationship. And so I want to just say, first of all, these things are just more things, obstacles that you have to overcome. They can be overcome. They can and they will be overcome. But we have to understand that that's what you're signing up for when you get involved. Because here's what you're going to have step-in-laws. You're going to have to live peaceably with step-in-laws. You're going to have different philosophies. Your step-in-laws, and we deal with this all the time, step-in-laws might not go to church. So they have a totally different core value of how they're raising the children and the grandchildren than you are. But you've got to think about all of these things before that takes place. Count all the cost and be honest with one another. And then remain honest. Because we've seen a lot of things. Oh, I know this is what was said when they first got married, but something changes. By the way, every child can be difficult, whether they're your biological child or not. But that child that's not your biological child, you ought to love them like they think they're your biological child. That's what you signed up for. That's what you signed up for. And if you don't think you can do that, then you need to be honest about it. But I will say this to you. You can do it with God's help. By the way, Laura and I was sitting talking about people that's been in our life, and you might want to share that a minute ago, but we know some here. We know people here. Great testimony. But we knew of some folks in West Virginia. I'd have never known that that girl was not his biological child because he loved her so much. There was no difference. So you might want to say something there.
Well, and you have to remember, too, when you choose to marry somebody, you're choosing theirs as
yes.
well. So if you're marrying someone that already has a child, you're choosing that child as well. And as a married couple, you have to determine in every marriage, whether it's a blended family or not, not to let anything separate
That's
you
right.
as a family,
right.
not just a couple, but as a family. It may mean you need to put some extra time and effort into making it work, but you have to. We were even talking about these lessons the other day. I said, you know, it's funny. This is our fourth one. I said, there's a common denominator in all four of them, and it's selfishness. Everything that we're dealing with goes back to the root of selfishness. So number one, you just can't be selfish in your marriage. And then think of the children. I know somebody personally in our family that I watched their children. They got divorced, moved on into other marriages, and they just fought all the time, and those children suffered. You know, even if their parents aren't together, they still need to see their parents getting along. The children need to see that. So think of the children and don't be selfish. But he was talking about, I grew up in a church, and there was a family that had four children. And I was friends with one of the girls. I went to her house all the time. We were really close friends. Never knew it until I was an adult that that was a blended family. Never had a clue. They did a great job. They didn't have partiality towards each other, toward the parents or the children, and they had a goal. They had a goal. They had a purpose. They were going to be a family. They wasn't going to be separated. And like I said, I was an adult before I even knew it was a blended family, and I was in that home all the time. So,
well, and I'm not. We're just being honest. You know, children can find faults. They can find cracks. They can find the weak places, and they will. They'll try because we're all selfish. We want our way. And so a lot of times what happens here is the biological parent is protecting that one more, and they feel like the one that's not the biological parent is being a little tougher. But here's what I would say to both. Both of you have to be talking to one another and be fair and honest. And again, you're thinking about the future of the child. Not to make them love you more than the other parent or for them to think much of you. Here's what our goal is. We're trying to raise those children to have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus. And so, again, this does make it more difficult. It is a struggle. But you know what? It is a struggle that can be absolutely make a home even more precious because you're seeing the Lord and you're working together to overcome the obstacles that might come your way. And, you know, every child is different. And so, you know, your method might not be the best way. But I will tell you this, love will always work. Love will always work. If a child knows you love them, they can take a little bit of reproof, but make sure you love them. Make sure your motive's right. You're not just trying to trump them, try to let them know you're the boss. I mean, what are you going to gain from that? You're not going to gain anything but a child looking at you, okay, you're the boss, but I have no respect for you. So how does someone have respect? You love them. Show them love. And, you know, and again, this biological, non-biological child is very important because, look, those children need to be loved. And so let's support them. Let's love them. And again, I would just say mainly there to help with the blended family is you need to know. And by the way, if you have someone in your family and they're going to get in a situation like that, that's another reason for these sessions. Sit down and talk with them and say, listen, have you considered this? Have you all talked about this? Have you discussed this? Or thinking maybe down the road this is something you might have to deal with. I'm the type of person, I feel like you need to deal with stuff on the front end and it don't need to be surprises down the road. I did that here. I mean, I believe before I took this church, and I believe before y'all knew, y'all didn't have a whole lot of surprises because we covered a lot of things down there in that blue room. I didn't want surprises. Y'all needed to know what y'all were getting. I needed to know what we were getting. And so it's the same in a relationship. So I say, as you're courting someone, you're getting to be in that. Look, nothing's off the level to talk about. You got to talk about, oh, we'll figure that out later. You won't figure it out later. Figure it out now. Talk about it now. You might not have it all down, but you understand maybe his or her child that's not yours might be a difficult child. And by the way, if they're older, you already know whether they're a difficult child or not. So you're going to have to work together. But again, you can, and God wants you to do it. And I know some wonderful, wonderful marriages that are their second go around, and praise God for people that God has worked in their life, and they've worked in my life because they've worked together to make a home. Anything else there? I hope those are helpful things. Jealousy has no place. None. We dealt with that in the first session. And I will also say this. If you've not been able to hear all the sessions, I told Brother Chris, and I mean it, and I'm close enough to Brother Chris that I can. I told him, I said, tell your wife, they've not been able to be here every Sunday night. I've told him, I said, you and Miss Jana need to go home sometime when they have time, when they put the baby down, and they need to sit together as a couple and listen to these sessions and discuss things together. And I would encourage everyone here. But the very first session we did, this one was no envy, no jealousy. It destroys relationships. And so in this blended family, God will help you, and you can have a wonderful home. And so we're thankful for that. The third one here is the importance of understanding the parents' responsibility of educating their children. Now, Brother Don got these for us, and Mr. Walker is a very kind man. And just because he loves us, appreciates our church, he donated all these. These are normally, they're worth money, but he gave them to us. And so please, please take the time to look at these and read each one. I would encourage you, if you have children at home, to read them together. These are very, very helpful things. And we're living in a day where we're just not reading, I think, like we should. So these are resources for you to have. You say, well, I don't have any children at home. Okay. But if you're a teacher here and you're dealing with children over here in the gym, these are principles you can help those children with. And help them to encourage. And so school success begins at home. No doubt about it. That is a powerful one. And then the greatest ministry of all. And these are easy to read, but these are powerful. And then my favorite one was 7 gifts wise parents give their children. And so I would encourage you to sit down, take the time, look over these things, and let God help you with this. Deuteronomy chapter 6 is the verse that I want you to write down. Deuteronomy chapter number 6, and I should have already turned there, but in Deuteronomy chapter 6, I want to just read these verses to you because I think they're very, very powerful. The Bible says in verse number 6, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And he's speaking to parents here, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk with them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on the gates. That sounds like to me that parents are the greatest teachers. Look at me. Parents should be the greatest teachers. The greatest teachers. You are not relinquishing your responsibility when you go and take a child and drop them off over here at Lookout Valley, or even if you're going to a Christian school, if you're letting somebody else school them. Look, you might think, well, that's that teacher's job. No, you're allowing them to help you with that responsibility, but you are not going to be exempt from your responsibility from God to teach and train your children. And we're living in that day. We have this idea, well, we're going to let the teachers teach them. No. It's not the teacher's job. They can help you, but they should be, again, and I'll just say this to go a little farther. I want to make sure people that are teaching my children have the same philosophy that I have. That is so very important, because what happens if my child is struggling with a spiritual issue at school and he has no one there to talk to? It's important that we understand who's influencing our children. So again, we're relinquishing that to someone. But let's make sure, because we ultimately, when we stand before the Lord, we're going to give an accountability for that. So let's ask God, give us wisdom, and let's teach. That means that be involved with their homework. Make fun ways to learn at home. Know what's going on with your children at school. If they have tests, you ought to know if they have tests. You ought to help them study. And I've learned something about that. I learned how dumb I was when I started to do that stuff again. Because, man, I thought it's even harder today. But do it together. It's the parents' responsibility. And so let's not negate that. And I'll even say this. Thank God for all of our Sunday school teachers here. Thank God for all of our teachers and workers on Wednesday night and on Children's Church. But listen to me. The greatest influence in children's home should be their parents. And I'm going to be honest with you. It even bothers me when someone says, well, let the pastor, and by the way, I'm here to help you, but I would never want to take anybody's place from their mom or their dad. Never. And so make sure, parents, that we understand the importance of understanding that it's our responsibility to teach our children all things. Spiritual things. Brother Robert used a word I hadn't heard in a long time yesterday, arithmetic. I've always known it to be math. Math. Hey, I'm horrible at math, so I just let her do that. But we do it together. So do it together. Stay involved with your children. And I love that. You know, again, these are very helpful. So please do your very best to read these. These were given to us, and I promise you they will be very, very, very helpful. Number four. Did you want to say anything there? Number four. What is the importance of showing appreciation to your spouse? Mr. Clay, would you read this one for us? Colossians chapter 3, if you want to write it down, Colossians chapter 3, 12 through 16.
Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, even if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord.
As he reads that, and I want y'all to write that down and maybe go home later and read that, but how many of our homes are marked in this way? That's God's design for a home. You say, oh, that's crazy if you heard all of us saying, it'd be good for you. You know, I know people laughed at us. We used to get in the car. Laura, and I'll say this. I don't think you'll mind, but Mr. Clay, we were listening to that song today, and I can't remember exactly what it was, but it was a part where she was trying to teach you parts when you were younger. And here's what Clay would do. How did he do it, Miss Laura?
I knew he could harmonize because we would be in the car and he would be harmonizing. So I wanted to try to work on that at home. So I would get the piano and I'd pick out his notes and I'd try to help him sing. And he was the type of child that he would get so frustrated if he couldn't get it immediately. He didn't give himself any time to learn it. He had to get it immediately. And he would be doing great, and he would mess up. And he'd say, I can't do it. And I'm like, yes, you can. You've done great. You know. And then he'd finally go, I can't do this. You keep telling me I can, but I can't do this. Why are you pushing me? But he can do it. Y'all can hear him now, right?
So she heard a song today that he had sung, and she said, every time I hear that song and hear that tenor, she said, I think of Clay saying that he couldn't do this. Yeah. But and by the way, I can't sing. I don't know parts. Look, I have no idea. I can tell whether it's good or not. But I don't know tenor from bass and any of that. But I'll say this. We didn't care if I knew tenor, bass. Everybody in the car knew that Daddy would sing, but he sung out of key. But the Bible says that we're to have that in our homes. And look, that singing spiritual songs and hymns, making melody in your heart, it's better than arguing. See, God's way always works. We think that's silly. Sing together. Sing together. But the reason I brought this up, this passage, is you read in that verse, those verses many times, put on, put on, put on, put on, put on. Like putting on clothing. Put on bowels of mercy. Put on, put on. See, every morning, basically, I'm just going to be honest with you, I don't wake up every morning and say to my wife, I appreciate you. I don't feel that way. I don't wake up every morning, woo, and the older I get, the worse my mornings are. The Bible says we're to put these things on. And so the importance of appreciating your spouse and letting them know is so very important, because I'm going to just say this, marriage is hard. And by the way, when you get married, you need to realize it's hard. But see, so many people go into that, and we're even going to change some things the way we counsel people before they get married now. It is hard. It is tough. But it's so worth it. But if you go in there with those realistic expectations, you understand that it is hard. So I just want to say this. When you don't appreciate one another, you're just making it harder. Don't make it harder. Appreciate one another. And here's the little words that Laura and I think other couples around here has heard this. Show and tell.
Every day.
Show and tell every day. What's that mean? Show and tell. Explain that.
You just need to make it a purpose every day that, well, for me, I need to show my husband every day that I love him, and I need to tell him every day that I love him. No matter how busy life is, how crazy it gets, that has to be a priority of mine every day, that I show and tell him how much I love him.
Does that mean you always feel like it?
I always love you. Sometimes I just don't like you.
Fine. But that's real. That doesn't bother me, because I know who she lives with. But that's what I'm saying. That's why love, Brother Daniel's been doing a great job on emotions. Love's not emotional. Love's not a feeling. Love is a choice. And that's powerful. So we understand that we have to show and tell each day, even if we don't feel like it. I don't feel like it in the mornings. But she doesn't feel like it, but we have to put that on. And so again, here it is. Don't be selfish. Write this down, and this is true, and I would recommend a book here. I'll have to get it, but I know it's Love and Respect is the name of the book, but I don't know the author. But this is so true. Remember this, ladies and gentlemen. This is the difference between men and women. Every woman wants to be loved. Every woman wants to be loved. And every man wants to be respected. And if you'll show and tell every day, then you will be showing love. The wife should get the love, and the husband should get the respect. And that makes both happy. Now, you have something else here that you were going to talk about.
Well, I was just going to share two verses that has helped me as a wife. First one is Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. I try to use this verse as how would I feel if I was receiving the words that I'm giving to him. As I have said that phrase, it keeps me in check, but that's helped me. But also, I was reading this one day, and it really convicted me about minister grace unto the hearers. And I have been guilty of this, and how many times do we as wives are so quick to forgive our kids and move on, but we're not with our spouse? We want them to suffer. We want them to get it. Our children, we want to move on. We love them. We want to comfort them. We don't want to see them hurting. But why is it with our spouse we're okay with them seeing them suffer? And that's just really convicted me, because it says we need to minister grace. And then the second verse is Proverbs 18:21, and it's death and life are in the power of the tongue. Am I giving life into my husband, or am I killing him with my words? And that, too, is just convicting. I know personally that when I'm encouraging my husband, I'm putting courage into him to do good. But when I'm killing him with my words, he loses a desire. So, you know, ladies, remember, life and death is in the power of what we say to our spouse.
And, you know, that's, let's just be honest. Who wants to try to please somebody when they can never add up? I want you to think about it. It takes a joy, takes a desire right out of it. If you're trying, and the person you're trying to be helpful to never sees it, you know what that normally does? It causes them to get discouraged. You know what they do? They stop. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? They stop. And we want to blame them, but really I should blame myself. If I'm, like I said, if me and Miss Laura, if she's nagging me or I'm nagging her, and I try to do, and by the way, can I say this just to the women, just for me? This is just a man speaking here, but I think it will be helpful. Your husband's not always going to get it and do it exactly like you want it done. But you're a fool if you don't thank him for him trying. Be honest, you're being selfish. And I'm going to tell you what that does as a man, and I'm speaking freely now. It just takes the desire right out of him to even try anymore. So can I help every woman here? I don't care if he messes up 3 loads of laundry. Don't let him go that far. But thank him for his effort. Right? And so that's very important. And maybe you would like to share something there as far as how the opposite end is true with me not loving you. It takes the desire out of you.
I think it's the same. I think it's the same both ways. When he is encouraging me and when he's showing me that he values me and things that I'm doing, it gives me an extra ump to want to keep doing it and even do it better. So I think it goes Amen. The same with both ways.
And that's just practical. Number five, each person involved in relationships must remain teachable. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. Miss Laura, you're going to read that? Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise.
We were talking about this not too long ago, and I hope I can bring this across in the way that it meant to me. It's no secret there was a time in our life when our marriage was over. I had grew up in a good church. I was brought up in a Christian school, and I knew the Bible. I was on quiz teams. We had to learn chapters, so I knew the Bible. I could quote it to you. But when I entered into a marriage and things wasn't the way that I had thought they were going to be, I found myself using the Bible as a weapon instead as a guide for me. And things just wasn't going well. I was trying to use Bible on him, but I wasn't using it in the right way. I should have been using the Bible on me, on how I should behave, how I should do, not what he was doing wrong. And in 1997, thank the Lord, me and the kids moved to Knoxville with him. And I had gotten to a point that I can say the smartest thing I ever did is realizing that I was dumb enough to start over and need help. And we went to Crayon. I can honestly say I was starving to restart my spiritual walk. And we would go to church and we'd go to Sunday school. Like I said, Miss Evelyn had those classes once a month, and I couldn't wait. I couldn't wait. I knew I needed help. What I was doing all those years wasn't working. It was making things worse. Yes, I knew the Bible. I knew the Lord. I was saved. But I wasn't using it correctly in my life and in my marriage. And I needed help. And I can honestly say I look back and I learned so much. Some things, yes, was repetitive. I already knew them. But my mindset was different. I was more prepared to receive it in the way I needed to receive it. I wasn't just learning it to memorize it, to pass a test, to know it for this quiz team. My motives was different. I was learning it to be a better wife. I was learning it to be a better wife, a better parent. I was learning it to be a better Christian. I was learning it to better my relationship with the Lord. In the past, I was reading the Bible to memorize it and to know it, but I wasn't really using it to develop my relationship with the Lord. And I had to come to that point where I wanted to improve my relationship with the Lord so that I could improve my relationship with my husband and therefore even be a better mother.
Well, and we've talked about this a lot in the last few weeks. We were just dumb enough to know we needed help. And I'm going to be honest, that's one of the things that I'm concerned about in this generation. So many people just don't think they need help. They got it. And then we have resources like this, a marriage retreat, a whole month of home improvement month, and there's people here in this church that can help us, and we don't feel desperate enough to ask. There's something wrong. I don't know if it's pride. I know it's pride. And by the way, we've been there before, but the wisest thing we ever did was become dumb. The wisest thing we've ever done was look at people and say, we don't have this. We need help. And we fed on it. We took everything in. You know what we did? We went home. Before we got home. And Brother Clay and Miss Kaylee can tell you the facts now. Before we even get home, boy, it started in the car. Started in the car. Of where I started confessing sin, man. I mean, confessing it. I was like, oh, God, help me. I had to apologize to kids. Oh, I need help here. Boy, the Lord taught me something here. Laura would do something. And then when revival really broke down, when Clay and Kaylee started confessing, amen. But we were just, write it down just like that. Dumb enough, wise enough to be dumb. The wisest thing we ever was to become dumb. Now, I heard this from a young man that is a preacher, very young man. I'd say he's probably in his 20s. And this helped me. He was preaching. And now this isn't me talking, he's talking, but boy, it helped me. It encouraged me. He said, listen, young people, he was talking to all the young people, he said, listen, we're in the day of computer and all this social media, and he said, and we're in the day of Google. And here's what he said, I never thought of it like this, because the way he said it was more helpful than anything I've ever thought about it. But he said, listen, young people, I know that we can ask questions easily on a computer screen and ask Google questions, but he said, here's what happened. Boy, this hit me. I've never thought of it like that. But he said, you know what we're doing? We're violating one of God's principles when we do that. What's God's principle? And I want you to know something. You cannot improve on God's principle. Look at this right here in Titus chapter 2. The Bible says this. But speak thou, chapter 2 verse 1, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith and charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. Notice this, that they may teach the young women. That's God's design. The truth is, I Google all the time, but there's times I Google, I don't know who's giving me that advice. But I guarantee you right now, I know who's giving you advice if you come to this lady. I can promise you I know her heart. I know her motive. By the way, I know that about not quite as well as I do her, but I know there's some other ladies in this church that could be quite a help to some of our younger ladies if you would just ask and be teachable. There's no shame in it. I don't know any 27-year-old, 28-year-old, 29-year-old, 30-year-old, 40-year-old that knows it all. But that's God's principle. So let me help everybody here. It's okay if you don't have it. But it's foolish if you don't have it and you're too full of pride to get it. There's people here that's failed just like you, but they've learned from their mistakes. Let some of these older ladies here help you. Same with the younger men. There's younger men, older men here that can help you. And so that's God's principle. And I don't believe you can, I honestly don't believe you can improve on that, because that is God. So here's what I put. Don't have a spirit of don't need help. We all need help. And we need to know where to get it. We know we can get it from the Lord, but God puts wonderful people in our life to help us with that. Age men, age women, God help us. Quickly, as we just give some closing remarks, I want to just, of course, we all know Romans 8:28, but if you'll write down Romans 8:28, and I want to just share a real quick thought here, not to focus on past failures. We cannot change the past, but can learn to help the future. All things work together for good. Now listen. In this month alone, we have had, I could say a dozen, but I probably could be safe to say in the 20s. This month alone, we've probably had 20 or more people come to Laura and I and tell us, we wish we would have heard and known these things when we were younger. I want you to know something. We feel the same. There were things we did hear, but we probably weren't in the mind to listen. But I want to just say this to all of you. This is not for you to beat up yourself all the mistakes you made many years ago. But I will tell you this, and this is powerful, don't miss it. If you had made mistakes and God has helped you to see some things, then I don't care if your children are 50 or 60, you need to go to them today and tell them something you learned, because you certainly don't want them to wait till they're 55 to learn it. Don't sit there and beat yourself up over it. Do something with it. If you've done something and you realize you failed, then go to your children. I don't care how old they are. Go to them, because I'll promise you this. If you set that in motion in their life, they're doing it too. And if you realize that there was a better way, then who cares if they're 50 years old? Go to them and tell them you're sorry, that you learned something. And I'm concerned about you because, honey, I want you to know something. We might have failed there, but we want you to know there's a better way. Does that make sense? Miss Laura, you might want to say something there as we close.
Basically, just what he said, that's a good opportunity to stop the cycle in your family. There's things that Mark and I went through in our marriage, and when our children got to a certain age where we felt comfortable enough, we set them down. It's very difficult for a parent to look at their child and disappoint them with how you were living and tell them and share things with them. But we chose to do that because a couple reasons. We wanted them to, number one, see humility and see some honesty. But we wanted them to realize how devastating it was to us in our parents and our family, and in hopes that they would not repeat that. We wanted them to see how devastating it was to us. It was difficult. You don't want your children to look at you as a disappointment or horrible person, but at the same time, we didn't want them to have to go through and have the mistakes that we had made in our marriage. We hoped that they could learn from our mistakes.
Yes, and I will say this as we close. I hope all of us are humble here tonight enough to say we cannot be so full of pride that if we make mistakes, that we would not want someone we love to make the same one, just because we're too full of pride to let them learn from it. And I mean that. We're at the stage in our life, look, both of our children are grown. Mr. Clay's sitting back there. He has his own family. Kaylee, y'all pray for her. She's got the flu tonight. She's in West Virginia, and she's been raised. She's out of her home. And I'm going to be honest, we've made 1,000 mistakes. I could come to every one of you and look at y'all and say, look, I learned something here. I failed here. I could do it. We all could do it. But there's no point in sitting there talking about the failures. Let's learn from them. And I want to say this. If y'all can learn from our failures, learn. Learn. And I'll be honest, I will open this up to every family in this church. If you need help, me and Miss Laura is always here. I would hate to think that there's people struggling right here in this church. Now, let me just say this, though, before you start. We will try to be loving and kind, but we don't take sides. We're going to hit you with the truth. It's going to be truth. And I'm sorry. You know, some people come in, they want us to take their side, and they want, look, that doesn't help nothing. There's two at fault. It takes two to tango. I don't care who you are. There's two sides to every story. And people, look, there's things that we both can work on, right? So let somebody help you. And it's no shame. I will say this. I thank God for Clarence Sexton. If Laura and I was too proud to not go to him and ask. And by the way, I didn't like everything he said to me. But I'll tell you what, I needed everything he said to me. And I thank God that we had some people in our life that could help us. And you and we have people here. Never lose hope. Amen? So tonight, all of you that are married, before y'all go to bed, y'all just sit down and talk about how much y'all love each other. And encourage each other and show and tell each other, right? Amen. How many of you men have ever tried to do, you try to help around the house? You raise your hand? Praise the Lord. Y'all know what y'all deserve tonight. Your wife needs to take y'all out for a Dunkin' Donut coffee. Amen.
Only if it's in your budget.
Only if it's in your budget. How many of y'all ready to go tonight? It's five after. If we'll stand to our feet. I hope these things have been helpful. And again, I will say this. If you want to talk more about these things, anything, we'll be more than happy to do it. If you'll schedule a time with us, we'll be happy. We don't have all the answers, I promise you that. But you know what I've learned? Most people just need to know there's hope. And there is hope, because I can promise you this. There was nobody more broken than Miss Laura and I. Nobody. God is good. Amen.